All right, I sure hope you listen. I'll tell you what, this is important stuff, and I know I ain't the best preacher in the world. I get disgusted with myself sometimes, too. You know, I listen to myself, and that offends me, so don't feel lonesome if you don't like it. So, but that's not the whole deal here. I mean, that's not what it's about, and I don't try to be that way. I mean, I just see the world around us. I'm looking at you all, and, you know, I look at everybody else, and everybody's so unconcerned. They're just going along like the little peons in the parade, you know, just marching right off to destruction. And, you know, you ever try to talk to anybody that's facing big trouble, and they won't listen? That's why I get so harsh sometimes, because sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes that don't even do it. You know, people just ball up and they won't listen to nothing. These are simple things. These are just, you know, that's what I'm just that way. I think in a simple, straightforward way, logical. And I try to put it in as simple, the most simple terms that I can, so that everybody can get a hold of it and that it will help you. You know, that's the way I understand things, and that's the way it helps me, is when I get it simplified down to, you know, this is what's wrong, right here. This is how it happens. If I can show you how the road that leads to this insanity around us, then you could avoid it if you would just listen and believe the Word of God. What I'm talking about comes from the Word of God. It's not just a bunch of psychobabble that I sit around and think about or read out of a book or listen to some other fool on the internet talk about. Yeah. We start with Scripture. I back it up with Scripture. I explain it from the Scripture. God tells us how this thing works. And if we just look in His book, we can find out. And we can be warned. First, I sent you to 1 Peter. I'm sorry. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, you won't have to turn far to get there. Peter's a small book there, but chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There you go. Wonderful verse. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs and for allowing us to be here again together. And it is so important. In eternity, we're going to realize how important every service was, every message we heard, how important it was, how life-changing it could have been for us if we would have taken it seriously. I pray you to rest everybody's attention this morning. I pray these kids would listen and not be off in dreamland or fooling with their gadgets or sitting fiddling with papers and stuff and not listening. It's the Word of God. I pray you'd arrest their heart and mind, that they'd be reverent toward the Word of God and honor you by listening and not turning away their ears. Help us, Lord, all this morning to hear from Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've seen that God gives us a sound mind. You know, the world teaches us always backwards. I mean, the devil, that's his trick. He turns everything upside down. Evil's good, good's evil. Right's wrong, and wrong's right. And the beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning. But God's ways, when we get to looking at God's ways in God's book, we find out that it's just opposite of what most people think. God gives us a sound mind. You're not born crazy. You get that way. That's right. You're not born with a goofy, messed up mind. You get that way by fooling around in this world and getting your mind corrupted. We talked about that last week. That we're living in an insane world. We talked about that first and showed you how that insanity is just not being able to distinguish fantasy from reality. Turning everything upside down. Insanity comes from believing lies, the things that aren't true, and basing your thinking on those lies. Those lies are corruption. It's corrupt. The world is full of corruption. But the verse we just read, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to escape the corruption that is in the world. Now, corruption's taken apart. That's what it means. It means the disordering of something. So we have a corrupt mind. When we have a corrupt mind, we have a mind that has been put out of order. Did you ever go up to a machine to buy a soda or something and it says out of order? Did you ever go up to a bathroom door and it says out of order? What does that mean? It ain't working. It don't work. It's supposed to do this, but it won't do it anymore, so it's out of order. A corrupt mind needs to have a sign hanging over your head that says out of order. Don't work. Messed up. Ain't, don't do what it's supposed to, because it is corrupted. That's what corruption means. It means it's out of order. It's been put out of order by being convinced that what is true is false, and what is false is true. It's been put out of order by believing good is evil and evil is good in some basic foundational matters. Now, you got that? I mean, think about that just a second. That's what it is. We're not talking about everything. That's why there's people that are really messed up, but in some areas they think right. There's the basic foundation that you build your logic, your thinking, your reasoning, your awareness of everything on is messed up. You get that switched around underneath you, and everything from that point on is going to be messed up and out of order. So it's these basic important things that matter so much. God is true. Every man may be a liar, but God is true. There is no foundation that we can lay but that which is laid, and that is what? Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He is the Word of God. He is God. The Word of the written Word of God is right here in front of you. That has to be our final authority in everything. It has to be the foundation upon which we build our thinking and our life. And if you get, and see, that's where the devil will attack. He's done it since the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, he attacked the Word of God, the very foundation. And he got the job done. He got them messed up in every way. It didn't take but a little bit, and Adam and Eve were all messed up in their thinking. They thought God was against them, and boy, you know, it'll happen to you too. Very simply, depravity of the mind begins with corruption, the taking apart of the elements of your mind. God gives you a sound mind, but you get it corrupted through lust in this world. Now, that's how it happens. You know how people lose their mind? Ain't no psychiatrist going to tell you that. They're going to come up with all kinds of ideas about chemicals and what your mother did to you and all of this. That's not it at all. Your mind gets corrupted through lust. Now, that's what the Word of God says. You can reject it if you want to and believe the psychiatrist. Go ahead. You're deceived. You're wrong. You're wrong in your basic thinking. This is what the Bible says about our minds. God gives us a sound mind. But it's corrupted through the lusts that are in this world. The corruption in this world, we get it through our lusts. That's how it happens. Now, why? Why would, you know, it begins with corruption, and corruption of the mind and the thinking process begins with believing lies. So why would a person believe a lie? Think about it. Simple. Why would a person believe a lie when they've heard the truth and know the truth? Why would a person who's been taught and understood the truth and knows the consequences of not obeying the truth, why in the world would they embrace a lie? What could you do to a person to make them believe a lie when they know the truth? For when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, the lights go out. When you sin, when you obey your lust, your mind is corrupted and darkened. The lights go out. And you can't see. And then you're wandering in the darkness. You're lost. You think you got her down, boy. You think you're thinking, and you take
your bearings from the world around you and everybody else, and you gauge yourself by how everybody else is, and you always come out on top. You're better than everybody else. You think better. You're a notch above everybody else, so you're not the worst. You're okay. But that's a darkened mind that thinks like that. That's a corrupted mind that thinks like that. How can you get somebody to believe a lie when they know the truth? Huh? Well, there's only one answer. There's only one answer. The answer is real simple. They're lust. We've seen it right there. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, this verse tells us that the corruption that is in the world is through lust. And so our desire for something, lust is desire. Our desire for something opens the door of our mind for lies to enter. Think with me. Your desire for something opens a door in your mind for a lie to come in. Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
You better listen. Very important, because you're going to do it. And the devil's going to get you and destroy your life exactly how I'm telling you right here. That's how it's going to happen. You won't take your eyes off of the world and the things of the world. You keep looking. And when you gaze upon something with your eye, your heart attaches itself to it. You develop a desire for something by looking at it. Don't look. Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eye that I will not look upon a maid. He's got a problem there. And he said, I've made a covenant with mine eye. I made up my mind. It's not going to look. I'm going to quit looking. Because that's how lust happens. That creates a desire. And that desire makes a place for a door to open and a lie to come into your mind. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. James chapter 1. That's where I'm reading to you from. Then when lust hath conceived, that means when lust has taken control, when lust gets a hold of the reins, when you start being driven by your lust, then what happens? When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every time. No exceptions. Sin brings forth death. It destroys you. So you went from being enticed, drawn away. Drawn away from what? God. The truth. The truth that you knew. I mean, the right that you were in. From a sound mind that thinks right, you're drawn away. And enticed. To what? To this world. To some object, some person, some idea, some foolish philosophy of this world. And you're drawn into it. You desire it. You desire it. And then you're convinced that it is right. You've been lied to. You believed it. And you've embraced it. And that is sin. I don't care how innocent it may seem to everybody else. It may not be immorality, sexual immorality. It may not be perversion. It may not be thievery or anything like that. But it's sin. When you have left the truth and the right way and started following lies, no matter what it's about, you're living in sin. And your mind has believed a lie. Now you're basing other things that you believe on what you've embraced here. That's not true. Not true at all. You're basing it on a lie. And pretty soon you got your whole house built upon a lie. And you do not have a sound mind anymore. It doesn't come out right. It doesn't come to the right conclusions when you've got all this false information that you've built it on. That's insanity. That's where we're at. Yeah. This is an insane world we're living in. I'm telling you what's a fact. In so many ways, and we could just go over it, but you hear it so much, you know. They'll put you into prison and fine you $250,000 if you hurt an eagle, but you can kill a baby, and they'll pay for it. If a man gets caught abusing children or anything like that, or peeking in on a woman in the bathroom, they'll put him in jail. But then they want to make it legal for him to. And now if you try to stop one of them, you go to jail. They facilitate it and then condemn it. It's insanity. They have the pornography everywhere. And they have the naked women everywhere. And they talk about it everywhere. And it's promoted and flaunted on everybody all the time. And then when some man reaches out and grabs it, then, oh, can't do that. That's wrong. Well, then what are you doing to promoting it to everybody? They're insane. It ain't sound thinking. If you don't want that kind of result, don't feed it. And don't put it out there. Don't bait everybody and then be surprised when they grab for it. Foolish women that dress their little girls up like little sex dolls and then put them out there in public for the eyes of men to look upon them. Don't be surprised when somebody grabs her and runs off with it. We got a world full of perverts. And the woman that does that, she's a pervert too. Does that to her little girl? She's a pervert! She's a wicked-hearted person. Amen. Well, I know. I got to say something mean, right? But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. You better understand that basic truth of the way things work and the way this happens. So, you know, lust is what brings the lie into our mind that makes everything distorted. That lust. You say, well, I don't lust. Well, let's talk about it for a little bit here. We need to take a good look at lust and what it really is. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We could study that verse for weeks. I tell you, we could. Because there's so much there and it's so real and it's important to understand. But I'm not going to take 2 weeks here. I'm going to try to get done quickly this morning. I really am. I designed all this when I wrote it down so that I could get done earlier than I've been getting done. Because I feel bad when I preach an hour and a half and you guys sit there. I really do. There's too much to say. Natural desires, in their proper God-given parameters, are not evil and do not corrupt our minds or cause us to believe lies. Do you all hear me? Lust. It has a negative connotation on it in our language that we use today. It's been associated with evil because just the way it is. But the word itself just means desire. Now, desire is not wrong. In itself, God gave us desire. He gives us the desires of our heart. They're creating these robots, and they can make them look real, they can make them act real, but there's one thing they cannot put in that thing, and that is desire. They can't feel that. That's a part of your soul. They say it's flesh. It's not flesh. It's the desire of your soul. Desire, no matter what it is part of your soul. That's why being corrupt in it is so wrong and speaks bad of your soul, your heart. Natural desires. God designed us in His own image, in His own likeness, and He gave us natural desires. But God gave us means to fulfill those desires properly and rightly. And so that it's holy and right and pleasant and without the condemnation, without the guilt, without the bad consequences that come. But when you go fulfilling your desires and chasing your desires and living after your desires without regard for God's order and God's plan for them to be fulfilled, then you are out of base, out of line, out of bounds. You're living after your lusts, and lust brings in the lies. See? Do you see? We know the truth. God has given us these. God's given us a way, a place, a time, a means to fulfill those desires without all the problems. But men just don't want to do it that way, do they? They want what they want. When they want it, lust is this. Lust says I must have it, and I must have it now. And I'm going to have it now. That's what lust is. It demands. So lust, being that way, justifies itself. And the only way it can justify itself is by lies. Is it plain enough, or you want me to get down a little lower, down where we can really understand it? Now, do you? Y'all understand? You understand, you boys, you young girls, that all this messing around when you're not married is, that is living after lust. That's why it's sinful, wrong. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I mean, it is one of the sins that cannot be fixed. I mean, it causes so much damage in your life. You sin against your body. You reap consequences that you never get resolved again. There's a way to go about it where you avoid all of that. You know, people just laugh and snicker and say, but they ain't old enough and they're not experienced enough to know what it's like to get down the road and have problems. Never be able to enjoy the thing the way God meant for it to be enjoyed because of your sin in the past. God knew that. And God designed it that way, and God has warned us about it. But who'll listen? Who'll listen? Natural desires in their proper God-given parameters are not evil, and they don't corrupt our minds, and they don't cause us to believe lies. But men have some of the same natural desires as the animals. But in men, who are made in the image and likeness of God, those desires are to be under the control and the direction of reason. See, if you weren't under the control of your lust, you would listen to somebody who's older and wiser, and when they tell you, don't do that, it's wrong, and it'll get you, and it'll cause you all kinds of grief down the road. The world is saying, do it! Do as you please! I read this morning what Marilyn Monroe said, drink it down, swallow it down, don't worry about it, enjoy it, and live it up, and that's living. Yeah, and that's the attitude of this world, see? And they're telling you that, and you're saying, well, I mean, he's just saying, no, 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 no. And the world's saying, yes, 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 yes. And if you had a mind that wasn't corrupted by lust, you would listen to reason and say, you know, that's right. If I do that, then I can see how where it's going to lead and what it's going to do to me. And to my children, and to my future wife or husband. But reason's out the window, see, because lust has conceived, and lust has fed lies in there, and lust says you gotta have it, and you should have it, and it's okay to have it. And it's just them people who say it's wrong. And so I'm gonna have it. And so you go right on ahead. And your mind is warped and not thinking. The reason's out the window because you don't reason right anymore. It's under the influence of your desire, your lust, that's taking control. And that's all you can see is I want it. I want it. The world says, if you're in love, it's okay. Love, love justifies everything. It ain't love. It's lust, man. Recognize what lust is. Love is something completely different than lust. It's a depraved mind that allows its lust to run unbridled like an animal. Animal don't care. Anywhere. Just like people are doing now. Everywhere. In public. I seen here a while back where a man, it's been a year or so ago, but it was a woman and a man. She had been married for 50 years to the same man. And they caught her out in public doing that in a public view with some other man that was like 20 years younger than her. Like animals. You know. They have no discretion. No shame. No discernment about it all. They're just like a dog. I saw this morning somewhere I read it and it said that somebody suggested that we change our national emblem from an eagle to a pig. That'd be about right, wouldn't it? That'd be more fitting, wouldn't it? That would identify with us a lot more accurately right now. Yes, sir. We are not animals. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so our behavior and our desires are to be under the control of reason. of a sound mind that God gave us. Not a mind that's warped and messed up, full of lies and false information, driven by lust. The lust of the flesh here. Now let's run through this real quick. The lust of the flesh, spoken of in this verse, it means, here's what it means. It means the body as opposed to the soul. All right, now let me tell you this right out of the gate. Your body is not supposed to be opposed to your soul. So that's the way most of it's presented nowadays. That big battle is between your body and your soul. That's a bunch of baloney. You hear me? That is not true at all. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And you're to be sanctified wholly, body, soul, and spirit. And you're to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So don't tell me that your body is the problem. Your heart is the problem. The flesh. Lust of the flesh that it's talking about there. It's not talking about the lust of the body. The body is just a tent that you live in. The body has no power, no will, no moral character of its own. You are a soul with a body that you live in. This body is dust and it's going to turn back to the dust. It's your heart. It's out of the heart that proceeds all those bad things Jesus told us. It's out of your heart, not out of your body. So your body is not to be opposed to your soul. And that's what lust of the flesh is when it is. Mm-hmm. When you're driven by carnal lust. Gratification of the body. Hmm? Is that clear enough? Hmm? The lust of the flesh. Our body doesn't have to be opposed to our soul. And when it is, that's when we have this thing called lust of the flesh, which is destructive to proper reasoning and a sound mind, and it's in opposition to God. When we put the gratification of carnal desires above obedience to God's truth or God's moral law, then we're corrupting our minds, and it leads to madness. It leads to madness in degrees. It really does. You can eat yourself into insanity. Just because it tastes good. Just because you want more. Just got to have more. Just eat some more. Just keep eating. Until you just eat yourself into your mind's wacko. I've known a lot of people that's... I mean, you meet somebody whose body has went out of control. Fat. They're not sound in their mind. You won't find them that way. You'll find them messed up. Yes, sir. The other way. We know these anorexics and we talk about them and man, they got a mental problem. Yeah. So do the people who just eat themselves into 1,100 pounds, 1,200 pounds, and have to cut their house down to get them out, to haul them off, can't get them in an ambulance, 900 pounds. I mean, something wrong. That is fleshly lust. I mean, in extreme. Now, you don't have to go that extreme for it to be fleshly lust. It's just got to have your way. Just got to have what you want. You just got to try it. You got to have it. You got to taste it. You got to eat some more of it. Same when it comes to all this sexual stuff. See? That's what it is. It's just unbridled lust. And I've got to tie it in with the other part of it. So, but when we put gratification of carnal desires above God's truth, then we corrupt our minds. How do your minds get corrupted? Lies. Through the lust of the flesh. See? And we go mad. It leaves us with an evil conscience and turmoil in our soul. When people let their body get out of control, they're not at peace with themselves. No, they're ashamed. They feel inferior. They feel like everybody's looking down on them, making fun of them. Ain't that right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I could go 100 different ways, you know. I mean, all this body modification, all this painting and makeup that people do, you know, and I'm not talking about a little makeup. I ain't against a little makeup. But this putting on a clown face, yeah, I'm against that. Painting it on where it ain't even, don't even look like you. That's wrong. There's something wrong up here with somebody who's doing that. There's something wrong in here with somebody who does that. Yes! I don't care if the whole world disagrees with it. It's the truth. I know what I'm talking about. You wouldn't do that if you were at peace with yourself. If you didn't have some kind of problem with your body, you wouldn't do that. If you didn't have some kind of problem with your heart and your pride and the way you think about pride of life, we'll get to that in a minute, but if you're worried about what people think of you, you're wanting to be noticed, honored, respected, regarded, you're wanting power to control other people. It's the pride of life. But it's an evil conscience and there's turmoil in her soul. Listen to this, Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea. That's what they're like when it cannot rest. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. That's what God says the wicked are like. They're like the troubled sea. If you could see in their heart, that's what you could see. Just mire and dirt, just churning and turning and junk. Just not at peace, not at rest. The sea's beautiful when it's peaceful. It's pretty terrifying when it's churning. Seen a thing the other day, an aircraft carrier. Oh my goodness. Lord, deliver me from ever being in a situation like that. You know how big them things are, and the waves were coming plumb over the bow of that thing, just over and over. And I mean, it was just like, The wicked are like that. They're not happy. They may smile. They may want to make you think this is the way to live. This is the happiest life we can live. They're not happy. The people who laid out last night and drunk and woke up this morning puking their guts up, they're shamed in their heart. They gotta be. They gotta get up and look in the mirror and say, you fool. How could they say, boy, you are a smart guy, you are. Man, we stayed in an old motel down there in Mexico one time, way down there in the south. It was so hot, miserable, the most miserable night I ever spent in my life. But we woke up, it was on a Sunday morning, we woke up, and I could hear probably a block or two blocks away a guy, I mean, he was puking Buicks, like, oh, what's his name used to say? He was puking his guts up, just over and over and over. Boy, don't you know he had a good time last night. Woo, yeah, don't you know he's enjoying life? Now the wicked are like the troubled sea. They go cheat on their wife or their husband and then they go off and it's not pleasant. They don't feel like they've done something wonderful. It ruins their soul. And they're in trouble from then on. And they're just like the troubled sea. They may smile on the outside, but they're not smiling on the inside. And you know what that does? Drives you insane. Drives you insane. When you can't be at peace, when there is no peace, and everything's in disarray, and everything's corrupted, and everything is disorganized, you can't be happy. Guilt and trouble and an evil conscience that just condemns and condemns and condemns. That's what you get for living after lust. That's what they do for you. God has given us these natural desires and a proper time, place, and manner for them to be gratified. And when we do it God's way, there's no guilt. And the result is a sound mind and a happy soul, which is at peace with the body that it inhabits. And it don't have to worry about modifying it. Yeah. Now, I got news for everybody. Boring holes in it, putting tattoos all over it, putting a bone through your nose doesn't improve the appearance of your body. And it doesn't make everybody think you're better. Everybody looks upon you and says, oh my. They dishonor their bodies. Romans chapter 1, that's the road down to depravity. The result is pleasure without condemnation. Now, do you know that that's the way God meant for life to be for us? God does want us to be happy and enjoy life. I mean, the Bible bears that out. God loves us and He wants us to be at peace and He wants us to have pleasure and enjoy life, but not any way we want to. Not irregardless of the consequences and His law. God's made a way for us to enjoy food. God's made a way for us to enjoy relationships. There's a way where it's right and it's holy and it's meant to be that way. And there are rewards with that. Children. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And blessings of life. Yeah, boy, y'all are awful quiet. Don't you believe that? That God means for us to enjoy these things that we desire, but in the right way. In the way God has prescribed. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Yes, sir. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Tells you real plain where He stands on it. I thought it was really kind of funny. You know, all this stuff about the transgender issue now. Boy, it's got everybody really messed up. Somebody put on there this morning, I seen Deuteronomy 22:5. Look what I found in the Bible. That shows that this shouldn't be a happening. Deuteronomy 22:5. Yeah. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. Yeah, they just found it. And then one of them said, well, wait a minute. That means then that women who wear men's clothes are abomination too. And so they was just like, uh-oh. It's been going on for years. Started a long time ago. Nobody believes it. Everybody mocks. Everybody don't think there's nothing to it. But we left the basic natural laws a long time ago. Now we're so far down the road that that's foolishness. Don't matter if the Bible does say. They always exceed. Well, they're women's. Well, it's a man's skirt. You know, men are wearing skirts. So what? They're making them for them. So I guess that's okay then. No, it ain't. It doesn't say. It says what pertaineth to a man. Who wears the pants at your house? Do you understand that saying? Do you understand that? Everybody understands that. How do they distinguish the bathroom doors that they're allowing the men and the women in now, you know, vice versa? How do you distinguish them? The little picture on the door. What is it? One's wearing pants and one's wearing a dress. That's how you know the difference. The Indians did better than we're doing. The savages in the jungle did better than we're doing. We got a modern society that is insane, like I'm telling you, and they don't know the difference anymore. They're claiming there is no difference. They're claiming it's okay, that wrong is right. And they're wrong. And God's going to judge. And He's already judging. And since we want everything unisex, and men are women, and women are men, and it's interchangeable, and nothing's... You got it! Now, how you like it? How you like the fruit of deceit and lies and following after lust? Where has it brought us to as a society? There you go. But it's just funny to watch people. They dig a pit and they fall in it themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like the prostitute who sued down in Florida because she claimed that Roe versus Wade was her defense. That her body is hers to do what she wants to with, and nobody's got a right to tell her different. So she had him. Boy, she had him. Had him by the throat. It's what Roe versus Wade said. Woman's body's hers. She can do whatever she wants to with it. She wants to prostitute it, she can prostitute it. So how can they make a law again? They're contradicting themselves. Sinners contradict themselves. They oppose themselves. When they leave God's law, they're crazy. And so they make all their own laws, and they're all mixed up, and they're opposing one another, and that's why we got all these mountains of laws. trying to figure it all out without God. God just made 10 commandments. There you go. That figured. You can figure everything from that. And Jesus narrowed it down to 2. It's all you need to live right and to be right and to have a sound mind and to be right with God. 2. 2 commandments. All right. Hallelujah. Ain't we having fun this morning? The lust of the eyes has to do, lust of the flesh, body against the soul, shouldn't be that way. When it is, you got lust of the flesh. That's what we call that. The lust of the eyes has to do with the obtaining of knowledge. The lust of the eyes, it's driven by curiosity and a yearning to know and experience new things. You ever watch a baby? We're watching this baby all the time. And all babies do the same thing. What are they doing? They're looking, looking. As soon as they become aware that there's a world around them, they're looking continually. They're looking with their eyes. What are they doing? They're taking it in. They're looking at something and recording that. And they're looking at something else and they're recording that. They're recording everything they're looking at. Gathering information. Gathering knowledge. Lust of the eyes. We never get out of that habit in our whole life. We're always doing that. We're always looking. We're always looking. We're looking for new things. We're looking for information. We're looking for something new. We're looking for something that we haven't experienced before. We're feeding information to our mind when we're looking. The Bible said in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51 says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." And it does. Oh, it absolutely does. The eyes feed the imagination. Think about it with me. Think about it with me. Ain't that the truth? Your eyes feed the imagination. Our mind takes a still image like a camera. We're looking at a still image. Our eyes. But then our mind takes that image and makes it into a movie. If you'll think about it, it's what you do. You put it in motion. You put it into imagination. And you make something out of these things you see. You know, you see, you women, you look at a magazine or some ad on the internet and it's a real pretty dress. And you think, you look at that dress and what do? You look at that dress and then you look at you in it. You take a picture of that dress in your mind and then you go, and what are you doing? What's going on behind those eyes when you're blinking and thinking about that dress? You're putting it on. You're thinking about how your husband would like it and what it'd look like when you walked into church in that dress or into the store or, you know. You guys look at pictures of trucks or guns or something like that and you think, man, and what do? With that picture that you looked at of that truck, what you do? You start thinking and, man, I'm driving that truck. And boy, if I could just drive through town in that truck, boy, everybody'd think, oh, man, blowing smoke and boom. Is that right? Mm-hmm. You can go on and on. That's the way it works. It works that way with courting and everything else. You see some girl and you think, man, just think what it'd look like if she's on my arm and we walked in, what everybody'd think, whoo, look at that, you know. What a lucky guy. Really? You picture yourself. You picture yourself. It's imagination. That's what your eye's looking for all the time. Something to feed your imagination. And you're thinking that way all the time. Everything. Man, we could just go on and on. Everything. Boy, if I had that. If I just had that. You know, if you quit looking, you'll quit wanting so much. You know? And my wife here, if she goes in the store, she sees something she wants. Every time. I can go in Walmart and I can go through every aisle 3 times and out of there in 15 minutes and don't see nothing I want. And she goes in there, and I'm not a kid. And I used to, we'd go in the front door, and before we got past the carts, they got that stuff sitting there, you know, and she would stop right there. And look at all this stuff they've got. You know, they did that on purpose. They did it to get your eye, So you would look at it and start thinking and want it and buy it. That's how Sam Walton built Walmart. End caps and J hooks and all of that, you know. Catching people's eye, creating a desire, and people are impulsive. If you can get them to look, they'll grab it. Is that right? Ain't that right, Seth? I mean, that's how you sell all them logs and all that stuff. It's how everybody sells everything. They get you to look. And if they can put an almost naked woman beside it, you're going to look. That's right. Well, our world is entirely set up to appeal to the lust of the eyes. And you know that's true. That is so true. Everything is competing to catch your eye. Everything wants to catch our eyes. And so everything is designed that way to get you to look. I mean, even if I'd say, don't look back there, what's everybody going to do? They're going to turn around and look. Now, what we ought to remember is that everything that is put there by this world for us to look at is put there to get something from us. They're looking to take from you what you got, not to give you something you ain't got. I used to tell my kids that all the time. They'd have a little money and boy, they'd be wanting to go to town and spend it. And I'd say, now listen, don't you understand that this is the way it is? When you go in a store, they've got junk. And they want to give you their junk, and you give them your money. And so you leave the store, and you got junk, and they got your money. And that's the truth. And we just keep falling for it over and over and over and over. They make it look good. They don't show you how it really is. They make it look really good. Did you ever see a picture and have some little something, and boy, it looks so good, and it looked big, and it looked so perfect, and then you went ahead and bought it. And then when you got it, it was cheap and flimsy and no account, and you were disgusted. And you felt like you'd been took, and you had. You ever been there? Your eye got you. That is the lust of the eye that got you. And we ought to remember that. The goal is to get your mind and your thoughts to submit to whatever they're selling, promoting, or using to gain control over others and get gain for themselves. That's what the whole world is operating on. Now, I ain't lost you, have I? I mean, that's the way the world operates in every realm. But with money, with all this lust, you know, all this sexual lust and perversion that's going on, that's what they're doing. It's all being designed to get you to look. And to consider. And to think about it. That's why it's in the news so much. If the news did not report all this stupidity and foolishness and wickedness, everybody wouldn't be thinking about it. But that's all you see and all you hear. So you're thinking about it. Everybody's thinking about it. And everybody's considering it. And reconsidering it. And that's why you hear about people like I heard somebody like it's her age yesterday. I think she could understand about people, men, you know, thinking they're a woman and wanting to go into women's bathrooms. She could understand that they had a real problem there. I don't. You know, they got a real problem. They just need to go home and use the bathroom. Yeah. Or wear a diaper or something. Shouldn't bother them. If they live like that, wearing a diaper shouldn't bother them. And I'm mean, ain't I? I'm cruel, ain't I? I just think people that's got a right mind and people that's decent and honorable people shouldn't have to put up with that nonsense. The lust of the eyes. We wouldn't be believing all this junk if we wasn't looking at it all the time. We wouldn't be tolerant of it if we weren't looking at it all the time and hearing about it all the time. So their goal is to get our mind, don't you understand? Lust of the flesh. Brings in lies. Corrupts your mind. That's what they're doing. They're after your mind. The cost or the consequences of being controlled by the lust of the eyes is always far more than we imagine it to be. Like the old saying, sin will take you farther than you meant to go, and it'll cost you more than you meant to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you meant to stay. Yep. That's the way this thing works. We got to
the pride of life. Let me hit that for just a second here, and I already did. Let me run over it again here. It's the desire for honor or distinction or recognition by others, and it's also got this element in it of a desire for power to control others. And it's tied to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, because the reason anyone would want power would be to be able to take from others what he wants to satisfy his own lust. Now, y'all stay with me through all of that. Pride of life, it's tied to the other two. Because the only reason that you would do all that to somebody else to want to get control of them is so you can satisfy your own lust. I don't think you're staying with me. The pride of life is completely contrary to the humble life and attitude of a person that's rightly related to God and to other people. You honor all men. You love your neighbor as yourself. You love God supremely. That's a person who's rightly related. You're not going to take advantage of a brother or a sister or a fellow human being. You're not going to treat them, mistreat them. You're not going to abuse them and use them. If you're rightly related to God and you got a right attitude, the pride of life sets you completely on the opposite side of that. Your motto will be do unto others before they do unto you. Yeah. Your motto will be live life with gusto. I mean, go for the gusto. Get it while you can. Love yourself. Pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are not of the Father. Those things are not of the Father. God gave us desires, but not that. He didn't give us lust of the flesh. He meant for our body and our soul to be in unison, in harmony, not contrary one to another. If you're a Romans chapter 7 Christian, you're messed up. You ain't got it. You ain't got it figured out. You're supposed to be at peace and at rest. And there's to be calm in your soul and in your body. You're not torn between the two. There's not this turmoil and this battle that goes on within you. The battle is with this world that's against us, trying to tear us apart and separate us. Now, we got to control our lusts and not allow our lusts to control us. We're in over our heads when lust takes control. Now, what we read there in James chapter 1, verse 15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we're like the person who's out in the water and we're going under for the last time, and we can't save ourselves when lust has conceived. So what's your answer? What's your hope? Do you just walk the line as close to the edge as you can? I mean, just stay as close to the world as you can and just dip your foot in every once in a while, but still hanging on to God's hand. Is that how you make it? No, you don't make it that way. No, you come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then He'll receive you. Then He'll receive you. You got to come out from among them. You got to stay away from it. You got to stop looking. You got to make a covenant with your eye. You got to mortify your members which are upon earth. Yeah. You got to be crucified with Christ. You got to yield your members unto righteousness and not unto wickedness like you did before. Unto sin. Yield your members, your hands, your eyes, your mind. Yield them to God, to righteousness. You got to walk over here instead of over here. Instead of walking on the very edge and trying to straddle the fence everywhere you can, you got to get away from there and walk with God over here. Walk in the light as He is in the light. If you walk in darkness, you don't know God. You know, it's the way it is. There's only two states. I mean, the verse we read at the beginning here, let me read it to you again. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having what? Escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, there's only two states that you can live in. Now, y'all listening to me? You can either live in a state of corruption, where that you are filled with corruption and rottenness, a state of depravity, a state of a mind that doesn't work and that's going to destroy you. Now, you can live that way. Or you can live a life that has been touched by the divine nature. You can be a partaker of the divine nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. God can live in you. And your life that you live can be God living in you. Or your life can be you. All about you. You living in this world, living after your lust, getting what you want, doing what you please, figuring it all out yourself, making up your own mind about what's right and wrong in every matter, and feeling your way along like a blind man through life. You can have it that way, or you can have it where God leads His dear children along. You can have it, now which will it be? You got to make up your mind which one you're going to be. And some of you will sit right there right now and say, well, I'm still going to just, you know, I'll hear it, but I'm just going to do this and this, but I ain't giving this up and I'm going to do this. And you're still trying to figure out how you can have it both ways. You know, I got news for you. Every one of us in here has tried that stuff. And it does not work. I'm way on down the other end of it a long ways. And I can tell you, you'll never make it that way. Some point, you're going to have to choose. This way or that way. You're going to have to turn to the right hand or to the left. You're not going to be able to keep a straddling the broad way. You can't do it. You're going to have to be made a partaker of the divine nature, or you're going to have to be destroyed by your corruption, which has destroyed your mind and your thinking. Let me read you a few verses here and then I'll quit. We got to guard our eyes and our hearts and our minds against this corruption that's all around us. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Guard our eyes, our hearts, our minds. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life or the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. See, we're not supposed to, it's just not that way. You get saved, you don't live after your lust. You live after God. Should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein that's phony religion. That's that abominable idolatries is that stuff of thinking you can straddle the fence and have it both ways. You can have a little churchy and you can have a little worldliness. You can party, but then you can go to church too. You can talk that religion, but you can cuss when you need to too. That's abominable idolatry. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rites, they speaking evil of you. See the separation? You got to guard against all the lust. But when you do this, what's going to happen? They're going to reject you. We got to guard against others who would lead us down those paths, whether they appear wicked or righteous. And here's what I'm talking about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, it's talking about false prophets and false teachers. They allure through the lust of the flesh. How did the false teachers and preachers allure? Through the Word of God, through spiritual lies and all that. No, through the lust of the flesh. They enjoy church so much nowadays. You know, they worship hard. They rock through the service. Flesh. Yeah. They go to church and they hear about sex all during the service. Preacher preaches on it. You know. I seen a year or so ago, some preacher was preaching a long series on it, and he convinced the people to agree to abstain for 7 days
Well, they talked to a couple who were shacking in the church, and they was going to try. They didn't know if they could make it or not, but they was going to try to do what the preacher said and just go to church and hear that junk. Flesh, when they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. You see the same words, the same language that I've been using all the way through? Corruption. Corruption. It's our minds are corrupted. That's why they're insane. And they're corrupted through lies. And we believe lies because of the lust of the flesh. There you go. And the false prophets use that. They understand how it works, and so they use it to allure people that have been clean escaped back in. You better watch who you listen to. You better guard your heart from people who will lie to you and lead you astray with the lust of the flesh. Whether they're a preacher, a teacher, a Bible teacher, or some old whoremonger out here. Or some punk at school that's wet behind the ears and don't know he's right hand from his left. We must yield our whole body, soul and mind to God completely, and guard it against any intrusion from the deceitfulness of sin in this world. Romans chapter 6. Let me read these three verses to you, and then we'll quit. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Does that make sense to you? Sound mind, how are you going to keep it? You're going to have to guard it. If you've got a sound mind, it's something that's precious, and it's something that's under a black attack from this world. And you're going to have to guard it. And you better guard your children. You better guard your wife, your husband. You better watch out for one another. That's what we come to church for, and that's what I say all the time about praying for one another. Need to pray for one another that God would keep us from this evil day that we're living in, and from the darkness around us, and from all this lust-driven, lust-mad world around us, that we won't be corrupted by. That's why we can't get nowhere. That's why we can't accomplish anything. That's why we can't get anything going, is the corruption in our minds. We just don't think right, because we ain't got it all right in here. Still believe in the world and a lot of things. And some of you just going to believe it no matter what. Just no matter what. You're going to take the world's word for things. You're going to follow their ways. And you're going to be destroyed. So here's the world. No matter what I say, no matter what I cry loud and spare not, it's still, no matter what parents say, grandparents, it don't matter. Still going to happen. That's something that's worth weeping over, ain't it? Tragedy. Tragic. It's the picture of lost humanity and what sin has really done in this world. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the truth. And Lord, I've tried to be clear this morning. Somehow it's hard to, I have a hard time believing that it's clear as it needs to be. I just want to help everybody in this world that we live in. It's so dangerous, such a treacherous way that we have to navigate through here in these days we're living in. I'm so disturbed by the lies and the way the truth is so evil spoken of, and it just seems like it's lost and we can't find anything that's true, and all things that are true are just under attack and being openly called lies. by those who are living in lies. And Lord, I am deeply disturbed and concerned about the children and the young people that don't have their feet on the ground, and they're adrift, and these winds are going to get them if we don't get them anchored somewhere in the truth. Lord, help them. Pray somehow that You'd take all this and bore it into their hearts and minds, and that they would think about it. And Lord, You can do in a heart and mind what I can't do with a message like this. You can bore in on them in their quiet times, and You can deal with them in ways that are beyond our power to do. And I pray You would. I pray, Lord, we'd see some folks, some of these young people and others, really just throw away this worldly way of thinking and quit chasing after the world. Lord, I just see the appetites for the world, and it grieves me. Please deal with it, Lord, and remove it from hearts, I pray. Help us now, Lord, as we dismiss the service. I pray You would not let the Word of God be stolen from the hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.